Welcome, everybody, to the MMA UK Women's Show. Oh, wait, now we're live. Welcome, everyone, to the MMA UK Women's Show. We are live here with me, your host, Kerry Steller, Katie Hunter, and we have our very lovely guest, Levi Seedman, and we are all going to talk some MMA and, you know, talk about Levi's career, and I think she might have... You might not be in here right now. But Katie, how are you doing this lovely Tuesday afternoon, evening? Well, afternoon over here, evening by you.
I'm really good, thank you, Kerry. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How was that Miami? You must have had a blast. It looked like you had a great time. I saw all your pictures.
It was awesome. It was really awesome. You ever done Music Week in Miami?
No, I've done it here in New York. They don't do it here in New York anymore. And they had for quite a few years back in maybe the early 2000s.
So here we go. We've got Levi back.
There we go.
Levi's back.
I don't know what happened. It just went off then on its own. So,
well, welcome to the MMA UK Women's Show. How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So you have a very impressive career for an amateur, as of now, MMA fighter. Tell us, walk us through that. How did you get into mixed martial arts?
It's weird, really. So I got a little bit chubby over Christmas about 5 years ago, and I got a personal trainer at just like a normal gym, and she was an MMA fighter at the time, Liana Tumner, she's called, and she like specialised in, you know, like the pad work and stuff, and I thought, oh, that sounds good, you know, something interesting, and so started with her, and she said, you've got a lot of potential, like you should go to like an actual MMA gym, because I said I was interested in MMA, and that's why I wanted to pick her, because that was her background. So I just googled basically, you know, MMA gyms in Manchester, and SBG Manchester came up, went in for a free trial, and then that's literally the rest is history. So here I am today.
That is amazing. And you're coming off of a big win a couple weeks ago, February 23rd, against Sophie Luxton. I don't want to pronounce her name terribly. So yep. Now you have a couple of big fights coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so my next fight is on the 25th of May for Almighty, which is against Dakota Ditchava. I think that's how you pronounce it. And it seems to be a lot of, you know, hype around this fight, especially because she's come from a professional fighting background. So she's a Muay Thai fighter. But, you know, she's coming into my world. She's coming into MMA. So I don't see the hype. I don't see the, you know, it's not... just tight, you know, Thai fighting that we're going to be doing, you know, there's going to be wrestling, there's going to be other strikes, there's going to be grappling, jiu-jitsu, judo. So I think that out of everybody, out of, you know, either of us, she should be the one that's nervous and not me. So I'm really excited for that fight.
You've really been working on that side of your game, haven't you? I know you were really pleased that you managed to implement a lot more wrestling in your last fight, and I saw you were competing in jiu-jitsu at the weekend and working on your takedowns.
Yeah. So I don't really, I said that I wouldn't do any more jiu-jitsu competitions, but I was like, oh, I'm bored. Like my last fight fell through. I got a couple of people that said they wanted to fight and then they pulled out at the last minute. So I was like, oh, I'll do a, you know, jiu-jitsu competition and, you know, just to keep myself busy basically. And it was good just to, you know, get that resistance from you're training with people in the gym, but then they're used to your takedowns or they're just being easy on you. Whereas in a jiu-jitsu competition, you know, they're, you know, they want to kick your ass as well. So without the hits, it's just working those takedowns. And it's just a really good experience so far. I'll just throw that in there as well, just for the fun of it.
That is the weakest good experience part of the game in jiu-jitsu. I think like we're normally, we're quite rammed in the class. So you normally start from the ground. So it's probably the thing that you practice the least. And it's always the thing that I just like, I'm the most nervous about in a tournament until I get them to the ground, or more often than not, they get me to the ground. It's just, if you can get that advantage as well, it's huge.
Yeah. I mean, as well, like, I didn't win, but I think that's because they played a really good game, because, you know, I was an MMA fighter and we're used to taking people down. So I think they probably just knew they was going to be taken down and just throw up a high guard from there, which is, you know, which is probably what these jiu-jitsu girls do. But I remember a guy who's a black belt in judo said to me, you just got to enjoy the ride. If you're going to be thrown or if you're going to be taken down, you may as well just go with it and not stiffen up. And that's, I think that's a massive part of it, is just going with it and then just working from there.
Do you train a lot in the gi, or do you mostly do no gi?
Yeah, I train everything. So obviously traditionally in the gi, and that's Mondays and Wednesdays for us at SBG. And then we do no gi Tuesday and Thursday. So we try to, even all of the MMA fighters at our gym train in the gi, because it's quite, you know, we think it's beneficial as well to do no gi and gi jiu-jitsu.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's benefits to both. And now you have your fight coming up in May, and then you have a quick turnaround and you're doing the European MMA Championships in June?
Yeah.
In Rome?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. Just not looking forward to weighing in at champ weight every day, which is the only difficulty in the tournament, really.
How much above champ weight do you walk around at?
About 4.5 kilos.
Okay.
I think. So it's but
quite
it
tough
will
for
be
a week to try and hit that like every day, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, luckily this is why we've accepted the fight as well, is because I'll be a little bit lower to do this fight against Dakota, and then after that I will be walking around a little bit lighter, so I can just kind of tailor my nutrition towards getting down to champ weight and then, you know, tackling that on the day of the weigh-ins, because it's every morning. So at least you get time to refuel, you know, have you rehydrate, and then you're fighting from there. And it's good because also I did Worlds last year, so I know how it's all set out. Yeah. Whereas when we'd done that at the time, I was like, wow, we have to weigh in every day. Oh my God, like we've got an hour until we're fighting and everything was all upside down. But at least I've got that experience now and I can focus on actually fighting rather than standing on the scales every 2 minutes.
Second time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's huge. How was that as an experience for your first time?
It was great. You know, I was just talking to my friend about 10 minutes ago who I went with, and was just saying, how good was it? It was just so good to go there on your own. You know, you've not got any family with you. You're just there to do that sole purpose of fighting and meeting loads of different people. And it was it was so surreal because we're all in a hotel together. Like there's not separate hotels. Like we're having breakfast next to my opponent before you go and fight him. And it's like, it's so weird, but it's just really good at the same time. Like the whole experience was really good. And it is something that, you know, all amateur fighters should definitely do. They should definitely try and, you know, represent the country, because you can't do that, in MMA. It's not like an Olympic sport. So it's an honour, and also it's a great experience to do it.
Yeah. And Jo Doyle was one of the coaches of the women's team, wasn't she?
Yeah, and she still is. She's the ladies' coach now, so she's doing really well. She's got a lot of girls on board this time, and that's what we definitely needed. Yeah.
How is it with her as a coach? I think she does so much for women's MMA. I'm actually really looking forward to meeting her, because she's fighting this Saturday on the Cage Warriors Academy Southeast card. So I'm super excited to get to watch her live for the first time, and also just tell her I'm a fan.
She's definitely that type of person that you want to be the head of your team. You know, if there's any troubles, or you're worried about something, or you need to tell, you know, higher management, like, oh, I'm not comfortable with this. Like, she was just there. She was there. You know, there was a couple of times that I just kicked off because I'm hot-headed anyway. And she was always there and was just like, you know, keeping me calm and just not, I'm not saying like I was just an angry person. It was just certain things while I was over there that was winding me up. And she was just really good at handling things. And because she's the type of girl that would just not take any shit herself.
Yeah,
that's the type of person you need as being the head of your team. So it was really good having Jo there, just keeping us all together.
And what was winding you up when you were there?
I don't know. I was hungry. It was hot. I don't even know what it was. I was just kicking off at every slight thing. And yeah, it was just silly. Like, I'm always like that. Especially when I'm hungry. Hangry. I get hangry a lot.
Hangry, that's the best word ever. And it's so true. Especially as women, we get like especially hangry and more vicious. And you know, you can watch as many fights as you want. It's funny because I kind of feel like women fights, women MMA fights are just way more intense. And a lot of people will argue that and say it's not. And there's an intensity that we have behind us that guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're scary, but there's just something with women that's just a little bit more like, maybe that mama bear instinct. I don't know.
I think it's as well because people don't see it very often. And they like, you know, it's all the, you know, when you see two guys beating each other up and there's blood everywhere and you're like, oh yeah, it's two guys scrapping, but then you see two girls kicking the shit out of each other and you're like, whoa, what is going on? Like, you know, I think it's weird for guys to see that. But it's becoming more popular now, and that's what I really, you know, I'm enjoying to see is that there's more women coming through, you know, these women title fights, people getting excited about women's fights, and that's good for me as well, knowing that when I get to a higher level, people would be interested in watching my fights, and that's what you want, really, isn't it?
Definitely. When you think of people like Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Rose Namajunas and Cyborg and Nunes, like, everybody is happy to watch these girls like headline
and excited
the biggest cards of the year.
Yeah,
they, like, deliver as well. Like that Cyborg Nunes fight, like, that was just like,
that was crazy.
What are they gonna do now? It's incredible because obviously the belt's vacant. She's not fighting for it again. She said she refuses to. She doesn't want to go back up to 145. She wants to go immediately to 135. And she has her fight with Holly Holm. Chris Cyborg doesn't have a fight that I've seen scheduled yet. I know that they put up the fake, you know, super fight thing with her and Jermaine.
Yeah.
And I know that Felicia Spencer is going to be fighting Megan Anderson in Rochester, New York. So it's like, well, what's happening with the belt?
So Cyborg's got one fight left on her contract, I think, hasn't she?
Yes.
I think she'll go to Bellator. They might even release her. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I just think they've given up on building.
I'd love to see her go over to PFL.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's got to go somewhere where they've got, like, a whole division of fighters at that weight because they can't keep picking people out of...
Yeah, I agree with that.
To fight her.
PFL has the 155 division, and I've actually followed a lot of Cyborg and Chris Cyborg and Kayla Harrison's banter back and forth. And Kayla said, you know, you come over to PFL, come up to 155. She said Chris has no problems going up to 155. I think it would be better for her. I think you'd see a whole different fighter in her. She wouldn't have to put as much weight.
Yeah,
definitely.
My friend Olga Rubin is fighting for the belt in Bellator against Julia Budd in July. So what I'd love to see is Olga win that fight and then Cyborg go to Bellator. That would be amazing.
It seems like everybody's going to Bellator as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good move. It's a good move, I think. Definitely.
Coker owns Strikeforce, and she was one of their champs. She dethroned Gina Carano and retired her. So I can't see her not having a great relationship over there and being treated really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the UFC are going to do with her, if they'll make her fight this last fight. It just kind of seems like whoever she fights is going to be a bit irrelevant.
That's true.
And it's a shame.
Because they're getting like overweight bantamweights, aren't they, to fight her, who's an absolute machine. And then, I think she deserves to be somewhere where there's a full division that she can take advantage of.
Exactly.
You want to hear something crazy? In with PFL, Sarah Kaufman just got signed to the 155 division.
Wow.
She was a 135er, no? She was.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was. Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, there's so much out there other than the UFC for these ladies at that point, if you think about it. They're really, especially for, you know, the bigger ladies. 155 is a big girl, you know? And I just think it's so great at this point that there's just so much for you guys out there between Bellator, UFC, PFL. It's just the sky's the limit.
Is Invicta still going as well?
Oh, yeah, Invicta too. I keep on forgetting them, yeah. Although a lot of their fighters are going to the UFC, so I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of weirds me out in that respect. But, yeah, they're still going. They have now their featherweight belts now vacant.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of options for Cyborg, really.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Better options as well.
I think she'd be better off in a different organization, to be honest. I really do. Yeah. I don't think they treat her right. I think she could do way better. She could even go to freaking one. She could go to one. Yeah.
But I like that there's all these viable options available for fighters now. I feel like the UFC have had people over a barrel for far too long. They know that it's the holy grail for all fighters, you know, as they're coming up through the amateur ranks and turning pro. Everyone's always wanted to go on to the UFC. And now I think maybe things are finally starting to change a little bit and there are other viable options for fighters.
I think it's one of those things about, do I go for more money or do I go for status? And yeah. I think more people are going for the money now because they realise that MMA is a crazy sport. You can get severely injured at any point. Absolutely. And you think, you know what, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go for the money over than, you know, go in UFC, just go on a prelim fight, get $5,000 or something, you know, to show up and $5,000 to win, where you can get $30,000 in Bellator. You know, I'm just
thinking,
I was
going to say that. It's incredible, just, yeah, the price difference, because people don't realise that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think especially because quite a lot of the younger, exactly, and it, you know, it might take you a while to get up there, whereas you're a younger up-and-coming fighter on Bellator, you're getting a lot more than, you know, some people on the prelim card of UFC, so it's one of them things.
I also feel like, and this is just my personal opinion, just watching everything that goes on with the UFC in the last, let's say, year and a half, they're not, let's say, not in the business of ruining people's careers. So I don't know. I would definitely think twice as an upcoming fighter about possibly signing with them. Cause you know, my friend Matt Frivola did great on the Tuesday. I think he was on, he might've done the Tuesday Night Contender Series, but he might've just been, it might've been somehow else that he got there, but he's what, three fights in, lost two, and I have a feeling they're just trying to get him out of there. You know what I mean? It's just incredible that they do that, and it's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's but again, on the upside, there's a lot out there for you guys. So, you know, especially with being a woman right now in MMA, there's a ton out there for you guys. You know, Cage Warriors has a big, right? They have a lot going on over there now.
Yeah. And as well, like, I think it's one of the, you know, Europe's leading promotions and they've got that filter into the UFC. So quite a lot of the champions do go on. I mean, not even, you know, you don't even have to be the champion of Cage Warriors to go into the UFC. It's, you know, it's on Fight Pass as well. Yeah. So it's definitely a really good platform for you to be on, Cage Warriors. I know when I turn pro, I'd definitely want to sign with Cage Warriors if I could do. Just getting it out there. But there is quite a lot of, there's quite a lot of females on there as well, and good, you know, Corey McKenna, up
she's
and coming,
awesome.
Strawweight.
Mm-hmm.
Just showing that, you know, you can come from a small town in Wales, and you're on the big stages, and you know she's training with Team Alpha Male as well.
Yes.
So, you know, it's on the rise for female MMA, which is a positive thing for us all.
It is. Are you saying that your last fight was on the 23rd of April? You're fighting again in May. And you did a jiu-jitsu tournament because you were annoyed that another fight fell through. So clearly you like to compete often. But do you just want to get as many amateur fights under your belt as possible? And, you know, fit and healthy, just keep them coming?
Yeah, because I think the one thing that really bugs me is when people have, like, three amateur fights and go, I'm turning pro.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, why are you turning pro? Don't do that. Like, you're just throwing yourself into the fire. Like, I want to make sure that when I turn pro, I've been against every opponent you can think of already.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forgot his name. Is it Benjamin Bennett? He's one of the welterweights for the USA who won the World's Amateurs, you know, the IMAF Worlds.
Yeah.
And he's had about 50 amateur fights. And his mindset to it is just perfect. Like he's saying, he wants to make sure he's been against everybody. So when he turns pro, it's easy. And that's what I want to do. Like, somebody asked me a couple of days ago, like, how many amateur fights do you want to have? I was like, 20, 15, 20, you know, as many as I can possibly get.
Yeah.
And obviously it will whittle down to the fact that you have to turn pro because you've fought, you know, all of the amateur females. And that's my mindset going into it. Cause I'm only 22, you know, I'm still pretty young. I've only had four fights. I've had plenty of fights booked, but, you know, they all fall through. So you've just got to try and pick everything. That's why I want to book as many in because, you know, it only got to the week before my fight couple of weeks ago when the girl pulled out. So you've got to have all those options on the table. Otherwise, you won't be fighting if you're only accepting one fight every, you know, 4 months. So that's the idea going into it.
And that's the other great thing about IMAF and the Europeans. Potentially, you've got several fights, you know, in such a short proximity.
Yeah. And it's really good how it's done. Obviously, you're wearing shin guards and the reffing's quite, you know, they're quite thorough with it. So if you look like you're going to be in a bad position or whatever, they do stop it. It's not like you're going to get really injured and then you can't train again or you can't, you know, fight for the next fight. So that's really good because you can get a lot of fights under your belt in 1 week, really.
Mm.
So it makes you...
Oh, it's in a week.
It can even make your record look really good or really bad if you're losing, so. Yeah.
That's
pretty
cool,
that's in 1 week.
It's a whole week, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's girls because there's not that many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you hear me? Sorry, I think
I lost something you went for a second. Now I can hear you.
Yeah, I think it's better for the guys because their brackets are full all the time, whereas the girls, you end up fighting halfway through the week because there's only like 16 of yous, and you can't be 16 amateur flyweights in the world. But that's just how it is. But yeah, you're still guaranteed around 3 fights, and that's a lot for 1 week. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Do the aches and pains not set in like a few days long?
I mean, I only had one fight in the last one. I lost by a split decision. But I wish I could get that fight on video because you have to pay to see it.
Right.
But it was a split decision. And like my two losses on my record are split decisions.
Yeah.
And it's very controversial decisions. Like when I've watched them over and I've sent them out and said to people, give me your honest opinions. They're all like, you didn't lose. So
yeah.
I've still got the mindset of I'm still undefeated, even though my record doesn't say so. I just don't think I was beaten in the two fights that they say I was beaten in. But yeah, it's just something that you've got to live with, unfortunately.
Last fight, because you absolutely made sure you finished that one.
Yeah.
Like, did that play into your head? Like, I can't trust the judges' decisions. I need to finish this.
You really can't. Like, some judges are really good, don't get me wrong, some judges are really good, but some are really, you know, you don't know what they're looking at, really, and you don't know. So this time I was like, I said to my mum before it, I was like, mum, I've got to finish her. I said, I cannot let it go to the judge again. I said, it's just, especially like, I know it shouldn't play into their, you know, half, but I was in her hometown.
Yeah.
So I thought, if it goes to the judges, you've got a massive crowd, people, you know, when you hit me, they're going to be going, oh, you know, and it does definitely change the judges' minds. So I thought, as soon as I've got this opportunity, I've got to finish this fight, and that's exactly what I did. It was a great feeling, by the way.
I think I saw it right after you posted it that you won a fight. It was awesome. You have a great online personality, by the way. You really do.
I love that celebration as well.
Right?
Oh, that was so embarrassing. Like, I done it that quick. I actually jumped up the cage that quick. My coach didn't see me. Like, I went, oh, I said to him, what punishment am I going to get for jumping on the cage? And he went, did you jump on the cage? I was like,
no.
Yeah. But yeah, it just felt right. Like, you can understand, you know, when people get these knockouts in front of thousands and thousands of people, they just go insane. Because I, you know, TKO'd someone and tried to dive over a 7-foot fence. So it's,
can we get a Justin Gaethje backflip next time?
Right.
I'd try, but I'd probably land on my head.
The video that Peter sent us earlier of this girl dislocating. Oh gosh, it was the ugliest gruesome injury ever. A gymnast.
A gymnast.
That was. Oh.
Don't do gymnastics, kids.
Yeah.
No.
Do MMA instead.
Just punch each other in the face.
I want to be a gymnast.
That was the craziest injury I've ever seen. I can't believe it. Not one, but two legs. You just. That is ridiculous.
How do you even get up from there? She most likely didn't, but no, yeah, that's pretty that's a very
apparently as well she's getting married in the next like 2 months or something, so she's going to be in a wheelchair.
Oh no. So
yeah, I read an article and she's like a picture of her in bed and it says like she's going to be married soon, and I felt so bad.
Oh,
bless her heart.
That is awful, isn't it?
Yeah, we send her our best wishes and hope for a speedy recovery.
Wow. Jesus. Wow. That's a good, that was just gruesome to see. It was like,
yeah.
Did you hear the commentary on that as well?
No,
did you hear what the commentators were saying?
The train without headphones, so I listened to it on silent. What did they say?
They was like, oh, I think she's hurt her ankles.
Yeah.
I was like, her ankles? Look at her knees.
I think she might be hurt.
Yeah, like, her knees are facing the opposite way. I think it's her knees that are injured. Like, oh, not her ankles.
You could see it in the video on the floor. It was
I could clearly see
a lot of things. That was definitely,
That was not good. So talking about gruesome injuries, did you see the bare knuckle boxing pictures from Artur and Jason Knight's fight? What do you think about the bare knuckle boxing?
I think it's well cool. Like, I think, like, I almost feel like I want to do one day, but I thought, do I want all the scars? Because I thought Knight looked like he was an extra out of The Walking Dead. Like, he just looked like he's just been dug up from somewhere.
Yeah.
But I think it's a... Eye. Yeah, he just looked like he's had, like, an allergic reaction, didn't he? He's just...
Yeah,
it's a... That's a tough sport. I think Rowdy Beck Rawlins is like the champ now.
Yeah, she's champion now, isn't she, Kerry?
She fucking suits being a bare knuckle boxer though, doesn't she? Like her personality and the way she fights is definitely suited for bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah,
Christine Feria, I believe her. Does she just won the belt Saturday night? I want to get her on here. She's awesome. She's super talented. All those. I mean, really, it's got to be a very taxing sport. You know, a lot of people think, oh, it's, you know, no, they have wraps. Oh, there's nothing. No, they have hand wraps. But it's, you know, I feel like it's better for everybody. You're forced to throw a more accurate punch. You're not going to break your hand. There's like so many factors that go into
but
it.
But yeah. A lot of them do break their hands, don't they? Mm-hmm. They don't have like, anything to
you're forced to throw the most
but you break you also you break your hands you yeah, also break your hands yeah, in MMA yeah. gloves though don't yeah, you and it's like yeah. there's not really much you can if you just hit somebody in a weird angle then that you know
you
tassels
to, yeah,
or
you
whatever they're called
be, if you don't want to break your hands be you know aware that you're not throwing a weird you know but I mean with sweating and stuff, you can just, that can happen. You know, your wrist can raise off funny. I have a boxer's fracture and I never got fixed. It could just happen.
Yeah. So I'm friends with friends.
As well, you've got to be more.
Sorry, go on.
No, so I was just saying about the thumb placement as well. Like, you've got to be really careful because otherwise you're just going to snap your thumbs. And that's quite a common injury as well. So you've got to be worried about that. Careful about that. Solution. Sorry, carry on, Brad Pickett.
Brad Pickett's bare knuckle boxing debut. I knew he was going to do well, so I was like, I was confident. And obviously, he just landed two punches, and the guy's nose exploded. And it's like all these pictures online of him with the massive bandage on. But I wouldn't be that keen of any of. I've got another mate who's thinking of doing it, and I know that he only gets in wars. And I just think his face is too lovely to like, end up with like 97 stitches in every direction.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, I just wonder how long you can be in bare knuckle boxing for. You know, like how taxing, like you said, Kerry, on like your hands and your face and everything. Because obviously, I know boxing, at least you do get cut, but you're not getting cut half as much as you would be in a bare knuckle boxing fight.
Okay.
I wonder how many fights you would do before you.
I guess
don't hang up people.
You are, but like slipping and rolling, and like how many times you can finish someone quickly, or if you get in one of those wars, surely you can't have too many. Surely those cuts as well take forever to like heal up to the point where getting punched isn't gonna like easily reopen them.
Yeah.
Well, there's like people like Mandalay Silva with all the scar tissue around.
Yeah.
Him. Like,
oh,
like,
you
as soon
can
as
name
you
him.
Touch him, he like.
Nate Diaz bleeds like a sieve. Chris Lieben bled like a sieve. These guys that you could just see it. It's Forrest Griffin, you just went bing and he was, I mean, it's
he's
incredible.
Always a bleeder.
Yeah, scar tissue plays a huge role in that, I think. I think it's just a gigantic.
Definitely.
Because you see people that, like, you're like, you know who bruises really easy, too? Not bruises easy, but she gets knots really easy. Oh, Joanna.
Oh,
she
gets, the hematomas.
She gets them big time.
Yeah.
She's got like really tight skin though, hasn't she? So as soon as she gets hit, she shows really, really well. I want to know what moisturizer she's using.
I was just thinking that. I'm 40. What does she use for her skincare? I mean, I think I look pretty good, but like, shit, I like literally just stepped up my regimen. I'm like, okay, I'm 40. I don't want to look it. And I don't want to do Botox either. Like, so, you know.
Yeah.
And can you do as a fighter too? For the end of your career.
Right? Do it at the end.
What was that? Sorry.
Leave the bare
knuckle. Yeah, leave it to the end
of your career.
I agree. Yeah.
I'll probably just keep one fight in my pocket for the end of my career, and it'll be a bare knuckle one if it's still going.
I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think it's going to keep on going strong. I think that it's got a good following.
Yeah, it's on the up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely on the up.
Sure, people get paid as well.
Well, there's the one organization they do, like, where people don't get paid, and then there's BFC that they do. So it's just, which one is the one that they don't? I don't remember.
Did he not say?
I think they do like tournaments, don't they?
Did he not say he wasn't happy with the fighter, so he was confiscating half of his purse or not paying him half of his purse?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I saw that. The guy that fought Barnett, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they stated him like the way he fought, and they took his half his purse and gave it to Josh, which was, I mean, I pretty incredible. I've never heard of that. I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way forward if you're trying to like get the sport legitimized.
That's so true. That's so true. So, Levy, any Levi, any big fights that you have that you're waiting, excited for? I know we got Rose Namajunas in a couple weeks is going to be defending her belt against Jessica Andrade. What do you think is going to happen with that?
Yeah. I don't know, like Rose every time just seems to pull it out of the bag, and I think the only person that will be able to beat Joanna is Rose. I think it's just like, I think it's Joanna's kryptonite, but I think there's a lot of people who can beat Rose, and that's just the beauty of MMA. I think it's like one person can beat someone else, but they won't beat this other person, and then it's just like a weird flow chart of who can beat who. But I think either Andrade is just going to put a proper brutal, like, wrestle foot beating.
I think she's going
to on it, or Rose is going to. Yeah. I think she's just going to win by just like, just taking a, you know, taking a toll on her, just going to grind it out. She's like, she's got that farmer strength, hasn't she? She's just strong as an ox.
That
just drive right through you.
Was like,
she takes people down over and over.
That girl's weight class, do you? Like, yeah. Wow.
She's just got
135
this...
too. Oh no, she fought
the Shang.
Yeah, she did. She fought at 135.
Yeah. She fought, didn't she fight Rosie Sexton?
I'm not sure exactly who she fought, but she's a big for a strawweight. She's a big little girl. Let's put it out that way.
Yeah, she is big, yeah.
And she could just pick.
But she's only short,
like,
though,
isn't
she?
Potatoes.
Yeah, she is short, but she's stocky, isn't she?
I think that plays in her favour as well. Because she can get under the hips on somebody, and that's it. You're just going for a ride, and it's just it's the end of it for you there, basically.
Oh yeah.
But I think everybody underestimated Rose's, you know, firepower in her hands.
Very true.
And then she can knock you out. So it's one of those. You're either going to get knocked out, or you're just going to get But it's going to be an exciting fight anyway. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a war.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never know. Rose might want to come and scrap as well. She might just, you know, you might think she's going to come out and try and be technical, but then she might end up in a brawl with Andrade. You never know. We'll find out anyway.
Yeah, not too long. A couple of short weeks this weekend. Yeah. You know, it upsets me when I don't see more female fights on a card. You got one female fight on the card this weekend. Like, really?
There's only one. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, they could have a full female card if they wanted to, and they choose to have one. It's disheartening. It's like, the fuck, you know. Sorry to curse so much, but it pisses me off.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few people out with injuries, aren't there? And I guess like Waterson fought last weekend, and I guess we've had a few. So, who do you want to see next, then, Kerry? Who should they have on the card that's not got a fight?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, I would have loved I would have loved to see Megan fight sooner, but I am happy that they kept her and held it back, because I'm really glad for my friend Felicia to be fighting her. I'm so excited about that. So I did want to see her fight sooner, but you know what? Honestly, there's just so many fucking talented chicks in there that, like, any of them. Joanna looks like she's in great shape. I keep on looking at her social media. She doesn't look like she's, you know, has any injuries right now. She could have been on it.
Do you think she just wants that title shot again?
She does.
She does want the title fight. Is that what she's after?
Yeah, that's what she keeps talking about.
She must want Jessica Andrade to win, because she's beaten her once before. She'd immediate rematch, I think. And then, like you said, MMA maths, like, just because Andrade has beaten Rose doesn't mean that, you know, she can't beat Andrade again.
But it did come down to a decision. And, you know, that I thought by watching it, I thought it was a pretty close fight. The only thing that I agreed with the judges was all of her takedowns weren't significant. They didn't cause any damage, so they couldn't really count them. But, I mean, she must have dropped Joanna like fucking a dozen times.
I think Andrade is one of my favorite, you know, the smaller weight class fighters. Because she's just an absolute bull, isn't she? Like, that's what I want to be like, is just run through people, just fucking flip them in the air. Like, you know, that's the all the exciting
stuff. I enjoy
watching
her a lot. Yeah, she's a lot of fun to watch, Jessica.
Yeah.
She is. It's going to be a good one.
So, are there any, like, female MMA fighters that are your role models? Apart from her, are there any, like, in the UK or...
Yeah, I mean, there's loads, really. Like, I think all of them, like, are really good, because they all have their own, you know, personalities, their own reasons for doing it, and all different records. And it's just good to see so many. Like, years ago, you wouldn't have that many. You just had the odd weight class and the odd person who's doing it and the odd crazy girl, because that's what everybody seems to think we are, which is true in a sense. But, yeah, I mean, I used to really like Holly Holm as well when she was more active. And Bullet, you know, Valentina as well. She's an absolute savage. She's crazy. You know, I love watching her as well. And it's just good, like,
a long time.
Yeah, I can't see many people beating her, to be honest.
Yeah,
there's one girl, I can't remember. I watched a fight in one championship the other day. It was for a title, but I can't remember the two girls who were fighting, and that was just an absolute war.
Oh, the one
I just can't remember who the champion.
I'm not too sure. It might have been. There was a big, big title. I can't remember their names either. And Angela Lee, maybe? She was supposed to win. Everybody thought she was going to win.
Yes. That's it. But she got TKO'd in the end, and it was just it was amazing. Like, so many submission escapes.
It almost looked like she gave up. I was watching a couple hits. She just sat there, like, didn't even...
I think what it was is, like...
Herself.
I think it's the body shots just took its toll. Like, I don't think she could breathe. I think she just fought, you know, because I think she got, I don't know if it was a punch or a kick to the stomach first, and then she got a few hits to the face and she stopped covering up, and then
she was
just
like,
got hit again.
Like, turned.
She turned round. Yeah, as soon as they turn round, you know, they don't want it anymore, and it was just a really good fight to watch. Like, you know, I love fights that can just turn at any moment. You know, you think you're in a submission and the next minute they're on the back getting their head punched in. So it's like, you don't know who your money's on, and that's just... like the beauty of the fight, isn't it, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There's nothing better.
No, there's really not. Yeah. It's funny because a lot of people ask me, you know, do you like boxing? And I mean, look, I started when I was younger. That's what I watched was boxing. And then when I found MMA, I was like, to hell with this shit. And I say, well, my opinion on it is, why use two weapons when you could use four?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have four weapons. Why are you only limiting yourself to two? And that's my reasons why I think, you know, a lot of people think, well, boxers would beat MMA fighters because of the, you know, the power in their punches, that that's what they train in, that one specific. But in my opinion, you know, you get this four weapons. You put them in a cage, it might not fare so well.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you split up all the disciplines and you go, oh, I'll go and fight a boxer like Conor did, you're probably going to get beat, because that's their sport. And then, you know, you go into wrestling, an Olympic wrestler is going to put you on your ass straight away.
Absolutely.
But then bring them into the cage and you can use everything else. Yeah. You can't just rely on that one thing. And that's why, you know, you've got to train all disciplines just as good as the other. And that's why I love this fight that's coming up for me as well, is because they're all like, oh my God, you know, she's a really good striker. I'm like, oh my god, we can wrestle, you know, we can we can all strike, we can
MMA.
We can, yeah, like, and you just think, stop being so stupid, like, you, it's just ridiculous. And and that's what makes a fight exciting, I think, is, like, everybody says it is style matchups. Yeah. And I think, like, I'm not, I don't think I've got necessarily a style yet. I think I'm still playing around with things, and that's the good thing, is because I've not found what I want to be. But I suppose that's a good thing. You've not got one thing that you're going into. I think all of my fights that I've been into is that it's been different. Something different won them. You know, yeah. Like in my debut, I won off my striking, and everyone was saying, oh, my striking's very elusive, and, you know, all this. And then, you know, my next fight, people were saying, oh, your grappling's really good, or she's a really good ground fighter. And then in your other fight, you know, I took you down and then TKO'd you. So it's, I think it's that element of surprise in MMA. You don't know what's gonna help you win. You just got to pull it out. And that's why you've got to have that bag of tools, isn't it, really?
Definitely. And if you've only got one, you better make sure that one is, like, just shit hot. Because everybody knows to look out for it. You know, somebody like Damian Maia, everybody knows he's not going to knock anyone out. He's going for that choke or, you know, that submission. He's got to be world-class, because if he doesn't get that, he doesn't get anything. Where there's definitely something to be said for, like, more well-rounded fighters that, you know, it's an element of surprise. You know, they don't know whether to strike. Do they kick you? They don't know whether you're going to take them down or not, you know.
Well, a perfect example is, you know, Askren versus Lawler. Obviously, people knew Askren was going to come out and wrestle, but they didn't have no clue that Lawler was going to dump him on his head.
How,
like, straight away. They probably
that?
Thought it was probably the best 20 seconds I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. But it's like the element of surprise again. He did not expect him to do that.
No.
And that's just the best thing. You know, you think I'm going to strike. Well, I'm going to, you know, ankle pick you to the floor, or I'm going to high-see you into the ceiling. So it's just one of them. And that's why I think you've got to love it. It's just so different every fight, isn't it? And it's that's why I don't bet on it. I do not bet on MMA. Like,
the odds are crap, and it's impossible. I still bet on it, but I know it's a mug's game.
Yeah. Do you follow Cage Warriors a lot as well? Because there's a fight coming up with Scott Malone, isn't he? And
against Jack Shaw.
I'm looking forward to that fight.
It's amazing. Actually, talking to him on Thursday night, Scott Malone.
Yeah, they're both really all-rounded fighters, and it's just going to be an absolute war. I think it'll probably go to a decision, because I don't think either of them are going to give up. So I reckon it'll be a really good fight.
I know Jack Shaw's brilliant, but he always surprises me by stepping it up a bit in every single fight. So every time I think, you know, he was fighting my friend Mike Ekandeo, Cage Warriors 100, and I definitely thought that would be more of a battle, but he's just superb, and his wrestling in that really impressed me.
I think he came on the rise so quick, didn't he? Like, he just had three fights pretty much straight after the other, and then everyone's like, oh shit, who's this guy? You know, this guy's sick. And I thought he probably should go for the title, and then they announced that he's going for the title, and I was like, that's probably a smart move. So it's going to be a good fight. I always watch the Cage Warriors cards, because, you know, sometimes they are actually better than some UFC cards, I've noticed.
Yeah, definitely.
Some UFC cards are so, like, sometimes I'll be watching, I'm like, oh, I just want to go close my eyes. You know what I mean? there are some real crap cards, I'd like to say. And, you know, with all due respect, but there are.
I think as well, like with Cage Warriors, it's a smaller card, and it's just better, you know, it's smaller, but better quality. So rather than quantity, you know, they've got the quality there. So I never miss a Cage Warriors card.
They don't need to put the fights on if they're not good enough, do they? You know, and also for me, it's like a lot of the time it's local talent, so that's always amazing. So I'm covering Cage Warriors Academy Southeast this weekend, which is just down the road, and then they've got Cage Warriors 105 in Colchester at the end of May. So for me, there's loads of people from my team on the card, and just like a lot of people that I know from the local area. So that always makes it really exciting. I'm watching these kids grow up and, like, following their career from the beginning. So some of them will end up in the UFC or Bellator or whatever one day. And I'll have watched them from the very beginning. So I think that always like makes you feel a like rapport with fighters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's exciting. I've had so many girls and guys that I've interviewed go pro, and you know, it's really, it's nice. And it's nice when I at Bellator, Long Island, and a couple of people I've interviewed that had just had their debuts, or, you know, I have never actually met them in person, came up to me on Press Row and they're like, Carrie, it's so great to actually meet you. That's exciting, you know, that people remember you and remember, hey, you know, you interviewed me when I was an amateur, and it's just nice, you know.
Yeah.
Or people's parents as well. That's lovely.
I love when someone's parents messages me. I think it's great. I get so excited.
Oh, my mum gets absolutely terrified when I fight. Like, my dad loves it. Like, he's just like, yeah, go on, smash Reddin. And then, like, my mum's, like this, like, watching it through, like, her fingers.
So she still goes. She still turns up and supports you. Yeah, that's the same as my mum. She cried her eyes out.
Well, mommy's like to raise a lady, and daddy's like to raise a warrior. So it definitely makes sense.
Yeah, that is so true.
Did she say she's worried about your lovely face?
I think that's what it is. It's got to be. No, she I remember years ago, like, I've always been like such a tomboy, like, always wanted to do what the boys were doing because I've got two older brothers, and it didn't surprise her really when I said, oh, I'm, you know, I'm gonna fight, because she's probably like, well, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You don't, you know, played football, rugby and all sorts of things. And I remember she was like, she had two boys obviously before me, and she was so happy that she was having a girl. She was like, oh, you know, I get to put on the washing line, like, little underwears and all stuff like that. And she's like, but I may as well have just put, you know, more boxer shorts out on the line because you're like a boy. And I was like, okay. But it just makes me laugh because she nothing surprises her actually, because I'm always, you know, I've always been up to like silly things. So
are you going, this isn't a surprise anywhere?
To her. Sometimes, you know, it's like, I always laugh and go, like, if I want to come home and on a weekend after I've been training and I put a bit of makeup on and like put some girly clothes on and go, oh my god, I've had a shower and I've actually like turned into a girl. But it's good, like, I like that because I can be this, you know, alter ego, this tomboy during the week, and then on the weekend when it's my time to do whatever I want to do, you can be that girl again, and then you're back in your...
you want.
Exactly. And then you're back in your gym clothes again on, you know, Monday morning. So I just prefer being in gym clothes anyway. It's comfy.
It is more comfy. Hey, but you could take that, and you could, you know, rock a nice pair of leggings or spats and a cute top, and then you're still comfy. That's like kind of my favorite when I go to fights. I rock leggings, a cute top, and I'm good to go. Comfy, I'm good.
That's it. Comfy is good. Yeah, I agree with that.
It is good. And as long as you look at it at the same time, that's really all that counts.
Yeah. And feel good. You know, you never know when you need to run off somewhere, so you've already got your trainers on, you don't you're not in high heels. Always ready.
If you can run in high heels, that's like half the battle right there.
Oh,
you gotta run on the balls of your feet. You gotta run on the balls of your feet, bend your knees a little bit, you're good to go.
I think I've done that on Nights Out before, running after a taxi.
Yeah. Away
running away from the taxi, you mean?
Yeah. That's an extreme sport in itself, I think, running in high heels.
It is an extreme
diving over
sport.
The bush.
Well, you know a man designed them. Come on. Had to have been a man that invented them. No way it wasn't.
They just inflict pain, don't they? That's what it is.
Right. Yeah. If you got a call tomorrow to go to the UFC, is there any fighters that you would say three fighters that you would want to fight? Who would they be?
Ooh, I don't know actually. I think it's weird because the it'd be the flyweight division, wouldn't it? And like, I don't really watch many of them, to be honest. I mean, the only person that really stands out, obviously, is from the UK. Obviously, is Molly McCann. Because, you know, she's recently gone in there, and I didn't know that she was the first English woman to win.
English, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Calderwood fights in the flyweight division as well. She's Scottish, so yeah, there are two girls flying the flag for the UK.
I was thinking of British, you know, because I was thinking, surely it's British people. But I didn't understand that they were splitting it up into
Molly's the first English girl to win in the flyweight division.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jojo's probably not that far off a title shot.
She's a savage. She's a very good fighter. And then, so I think it would be good to see her fight for the title, I think. Yeah, I think she deserves it.
So I think, Shevchenko's got Jessica Rye, hasn't she?
Rye next.
So, I think she's just going to put a beating on her.
The contender for that, I think so.
Yeah. I know she's tough, but Valentina's just on a different level, isn't she? She's just...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
She is on a super different level. I mean, she's also fought at 135, so you're talking about a girl that can...
She's held her own against Amanda Nunes for 5 rounds. Like,
exactly.
She won that fight. Like, not a lot of people survive against today's Nunes.
No,
like,
you're absolutely right. And she did, twice?
Yeah.
Twice she survived that fight. So there's something really big to be said for her if you think about it in that respect.
And it's not just the striking as well, like a takedown defense and everything's just on point.
She's got a great ground game. She's got great striking. She's just a super talent. And it's showed in every fight she's had. You know, she's she is that picture of the well-rounded fighter.
I think the fight against Holly Holm was good. Yeah. Like it was the two southpaws, wasn't it? And it was just a crazy fight. But I think Holly should probably stop making a noise before she hits someone. Because I think she's going to hit.
It telegraphs what she's doing.
I mean, it really does.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm anywhere near as good telling, you know, Holly Holm how to fight, but I think a lot of people have, you know, they've caught on to that. Like, as soon as you go, ha, you're going to hit someone.
Or at least use it as a feint and do it when you're not throwing a strike.
Right?
Yeah.
Just throw something, mix it up in there. Ha! Nothing.
What do you think is going to happen with Kat Zingano now? After the crazy eye, weird toe poke.
That was mad, wasn't it? Like
it was awful, I think. I felt quite sad because she's such a tough character. Yeah, and to see her look so vulnerable.
React like that. I actually thought the injury was going to be worse, and I think she thought it was worse initially.
Yeah, it did look bad, though. It looked like a retina was detached, wasn't it? Because of her pupil.
But she's a tough chick, and she's had so many tough breaks, and she's come back so many times. I think she's got, you know, quite a few more fights in her. I mean, she's lost... She lost her husband. She's just that poor woman's been through everything. She's been through you name it, she's been through it.
Yeah. And that's why it was so horrible to see.
She also had a really, you know, after the Amanda Nunes fight that she actually won, she had so much brain damage from that. She actually had to have treatment in California for a very long time to get back to some basic function.
That worries me for fighters. It's like, at what point do you say, you know what, is it worth it? Because, you know, I mean, look at everything that's going on. I from what I'm understanding, Tony Ferguson wasn't violent with his wife, but he's got, you know, to me, it screams bipolar. I have bipolar. That's the only reason why I was like, when I saw all the, you know, things he was doing, it just kind of screamed it to me. But you couple that, anything, any kind of mental illness or, you know, even just too many brain injuries, that it's just a bad recipe.
Well, the job that I work in, like administration side, but it's for a case management company who help people with brain and spinal injuries. So a lot of the clients that we come across, once they've had like a brain injury, they're a different person. You know, they can have like really, you know, aggressive like outbursts and talk, you know, absolute gibberish, not be the same person that they usually are. And when I read that article, I was like, he may have an actual brain injury, like, you know, your frontal lobe's damaged.
Yeah.
That shit, you know, that's going to send you west and you're going to be acting in all sorts of crazy ways. And
you could become a serial killer from something like that. I've seen news reports on that shit.
Yeah. So that's why I was thinking people need to probably look into this because he needs some sort of medical, you know, intervention because
how many can a person take? Your brain can only handle so much.
And it's not like he's ever in a clean fight, is it? He's just a brawl every time and he takes a lot to give a lot. And that isn't very smart, is it, really, in the long run? You know.
As much as I love to watch him fight, and I'd be heartbroken if we never get the Khabib fight that we've almost had so many times. And It's just, I feel like he was really, really hard done by, especially when they took the belt off him.
Yeah.
He got injured doing media day for the UFC. Like, it couldn't have been less his fault.
I know.
And I've wanted him to do well so badly since then, but if he's not well, I just don't want to see him fight again.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
I'm being grateful for the fights and, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, and that's why I get so, like, when I hear people get really mad about a ref's decision to call a fight early, I get more mad when I see a ref let a fight go. Like, when Valentina fought, what was it, Priscilla Cantoria?
Oh, God, yeah.
300-something punches to, like, two? I mean, how did... Herb Dean or Mario Yamasaki?
No, either one of them.
Yeah, they're both questionable, and it was like, so what are you willing to let? Who cares what the fans say? Who cares what their corner says? Who cares what? And that's why when Dana White comes, I'm sick of the refs. You know, fuck you, Dana White, because at the end of the day, you're not this kid's wife, husband. You know what I mean? You're just a guy that's fine with, like, your blood money. You're fine with that. Yeah. So for him to say that, it's like, go fuck yourself, Dana White, because you're not a referee and you shouldn't be.
I think it's hard, like, you know, as an MMA fighter myself, because we've got this stupid, like, we want to be really tough. Don't stop the fight.
Course.
And that's obviously you see it in different...
Protect you, though,
yeah, and that's it, because we would...
Have your fight into the death.
Yeah. And that's why we need the refs to take the responsibility and not go, oh, they're really tough, you know, that, you know, they really want this fight. Fuck, yeah, we're stupid. We're in a fight. We're not gonna go, oh yeah, can you stop this fight? You know, in front of all
my friends
and family and people watching. That's why they've got a job and they've got to do it. Otherwise,
and that's
we
their
just
one, like, their main criteria is fighter safety. That's it. Yeah. And you know, if you look at the rules, I have the rules right in my drawer. Because I wanted to take that course so badly, and I don't care what people think, so I would be a great referee. I could give a fuck less what anybody has to say, what anybody has to... That's my job, is to make sure you could fight another day. Your coach can go cry about it to the athletic commission and try to have it overturned all you want to, which hardly ever happens. But it's true, you know? I mean, and a fighter's not going to want to stop, and you're not going to want to quit. And, you know, something you see a corner, like... When Raquel Pennington fought Amanda Nunes, and she told her corner she wanted to stop, and they said no.
They said no.
What? No, you say, okay, I'm sorry, you've had a rough time, we're done. You know what I mean? Like,
I had a bit of a tough time watching that, because I was thinking, I'm going to put myself in her shoes and think, does your coach know you've got more to give? Are you just being a mad ass? Not mad ass, but are you just being, oh, I'm getting beat up, you know? But do you still think that? Like, she was getting beat up, but I mean, does her coach see?
There was anything coming back, was there?
Which is fair enough, and then you can say, you know, I want out, and you can get out, but it's always, I think, because of my mindset looking at it, you're just like, oh, no, carry on. But like you say, that's why you need refs to do this stuff. And
yeah,
absolutely. Sometimes, the ref should have stepped in.
On the opposite side of it, Anthony Pettis' corner, when he was fighting Tony Ferguson at 129, like, his corner, he said, I've broken my hand, and his corner said, that's enough then, and they threw it in the towel.
Ryan Ortega against Max Holloway. Ortega's eye was, like, popping, you know what I mean? Like, he couldn't have taken any more damage. They should have stopped it in the third. Or, you know what I mean? It's just, I sometimes question, and then I get, you know, when people get mad, I just laugh, because I'm like, you know, you're not in there, man. Like,
I think, you know, like, with Ortega, I think, you know, you could probably take more, but what's the point? Like, what is the point in taking more? You know,
he could have, but why?
Yeah, and it's probably, it was a good call, I think, to stop that fight.
Absolutely. That was the right call. It was so the right call to make.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to come back from it. You know, there's a lot of, and even the Robbie Lawler, Ben Askren, I don't think that fight was going to end any different, any longer. You know, there's like, face cranks hurt. Same as the shoulder. You know what I mean? What?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I'm not.
I do. And that's just my personal opinion.
A face
from
crank.
Watching it and seeing the angle three or four times and watching it.
He could have finished it earlier, though, Kerry. He could have finished it when Aspen was.
Of course they could have. And I was blown away that they didn't. I thought they were going to call it.
He was getting some heavy shots, and his head was flying back, and I thought, is it going to stop?
Heavy damage.
Yeah. Imagine being Lawler, though. You just beat the shit out of him, and then you get neck cranks.
I know.
I'd be so angry. But he's such a nice guy.
Too. Yeah. And but yeah. He handled that so classy. He was like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
He handled that with all class. More than the fans.
How do you manage that in the moment when you must be so fuming?
Did you see that there was like a second where he was like really pissed off, but then he's like, no, it's okay, Herb, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah. I thought, oh.
You were doing your job. Like,
well,
you,
which
you
is true. Not for nothing, and this is, people get so mad when I say it, Herb Dean is arguably, like, the most paid-off ref in fucking UFC history. Like, what he let go with the Conor and Khabib fight, what he allowed, and what he allowed with John Jones, like, the guy is just paid off, you know what I mean? Like, let's just call a spade, they hand him money. They have to.
We're never getting him as a guest on the show now.
No, and you know, when I first started doing journalism, I was on a show called Caged in MMA, and a lot of Conor's people watched it, and he does not like me, and I'm fine with that. They all hated me over there. They're like, this bitch talks so much shit. I'm like, I don't care. You guys, and that was actually how Peter found me, when I flipped out and told them all to go fuck themselves, and I walked out. I was like, I'm done. The only girl in a room full of guys, and I was like, you're all a bunch of losers, I'm out.
Fair enough.
And Peter was like, we love you, you trolls, we want you to come work with us. I'm like, all right, I'm in.
So Kevi, is there anything else that we needed to cover with Levi before we
got it all in? I'm so excited that we finally got Levi on and we finally got the show going again, and this was awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me anyway. It's been good to
fight again. Feels like we're going to get quite a lot of fights in the coming months. I can't imagine the grass grow.
Yeah. Hopefully no injuries and then straight into another one and then another one. So
awesome.
Get it on there.
Well, we wish you all the best for your AMI career, getting as many as you can and then keep that perfect record when you turn pro.
Thank you very much. That's the plan anyway.
Levi, where can everybody follow you?
So at Levi Steedman _ on Instagram, and I've got Facebook as well, so which I try and put all my witty statuses on there as well if they want to follow that.
Awesome. And Katie, where can everybody find you?
I'm at Cuppers _MMA on everything, and I'm Katie Hunter MMA on Facebook.
And I am Kerry Steller pretty much on everything in the girls' corner, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Ladies, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brilliant show.
And,
come back on any time, Levi.
I will. Thank you. It was good having me. Well, it was good having me. It was good to have me on. Thank you.
Oh, we had a blast, and we will be sharing all your
even
fight
if
updates.
You do say so.
I know. Blowing my own trumpet. I'm going to go.
Why not? Brilliant. Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Guys. Great show. See you guys soon. And Levi will be sharing all your fighting updates and everything.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
See you later.
Bye-bye.